Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Queen Charlotte of Bridgerton Story, Episode 5, Gardens in Bloom.
Yeah, I did not pick anything garden related as a drink for this, though. Sorry. I am sure that someone out there is going to be disappointed, but they're going to get over it. So we have our usual disclaimers. There's going to be cursing. For sure, about this episode.
For sure.
For sure. And there will be possibly spoilers, though not much. I don't think there's not much of this series left. So
there's not much left.
No. And of course, it's also basically historically set. So how much can you spoil? Well, guess what? King George, you know, has
kind of crazy.
So yeah. But we're also having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I got lunch, and so I got a Coke.
The creativity knows no bounds.
Listen, I'm in college. What do you want me to do? I went to Kroger today. I didn't like pick up several million types of like syrups, and I don't have like a book with me, and I also don't want to go to Pinterest, and so I don't like. I'm not. Coke.
You're saying you're lazy. Okay.
I also don't have $1 million in my like bank account to just be like, all right, I can do all of this now. It's like, no.
Understood. Well, I am making from the Regency cookbook, and I realized I didn't take a picture of it, but I need to, a drink called the Duty and Desire. This, and I figured it was appropriate because of the themes that are actually in this episode. It has, 1.5 ounces of gold rum, 3/4 of an ounce of lime juice, 3/4 of an ounce of honey syrup. I used actual honey, and I think it was a problem because I couldn't get all of it out and into the drink. And that is topped with ice cold champagne.
Hmm. Is it good?
It's good. I have a feeling if I had used something a little less viscous, like actual honey syrup as opposed to honey, it might be better because there would be more sweetness in the drink rather than scraped off the bottom of the mixing thing, the shaker. But, you know, there we go.
All right. So the sections, as per usual, are past and present. Let's start with present because we don't care. So in the present, there are a lot of suitors for the royal children, but people are starting to think Charlotte must be lonely. And yeah. That's what I wrote down, and that's all I care about to know. And Violet
and Lady Danbury are talking about companionship. The kids start challenging mom about, you're being mean to us. This whole thing is just mean.
Well, there's a couple things that happened before. So Charlotte tries to set her sons up with two princesses and tells them that they're now engaged. Surprise! And you're also going to get married next week. And Violet gets horny at an art gallery, and Agatha calls her out. Then this also apparently is taking place during Antony's honeymoon. I'd rather be watching Antony's honeymoon right now.
Yeah,
but
me
fine.
Too. 100%.
And Violet says her garden is in bloom, and she almost assaulted unnamed footman.
Yeah. Well, okay, unnamed footman's pretty hot, but
okay. Then the sons try to get the heir to the throne, George IV, to the Prince of Wales.
He's the Prince Regent.
Yeah, he's in charge of like making because of the Regency and like all the marriage acts, the Royal Marriages Act. Which we learned a little bit about in the crown, the sovereign or the person in place of the sovereign has to give their permission to have any marriage approved for the royal family. And he did not approve. And then Charlotte's like, George, be a dear and just approve this. And he's like, all right, it's approved. I don't really care about
I'm
y'all.
Gonna
I like George
mom.
IV. He's funny.
Yeah, no, I'm going to rubber stamp mom. He's, you know, like the prayers.
Sorrow's prayers. And he just starts like bursting out crying and all that. Agatha and Violet talk about how she opened up to her and she appreciated that because they're friends. And then Agatha shows her the wedding portrait of the queen and king. Violet is considering another man and she's like, I want to be gardened. And I'm like, I don't care. In the books, I
really hate this like analogy, by the way.
In the books for Violet, it was always something where the kids were like, hey, maybe mom wants to, like, since they were experiencing all this love for the first time, they're like, hey, mom should have some more love in her life too. We don't want her to feel lonely and all that stuff. But Violet, even though they like tried to set her up with one guy at a ball one time, but she just was like, yeah, no, I'm not really interested in that. I'm fine. I have my kids. I have my grandkids. I'm good. I don't need another man. And I mean, it's not like I hate the fact that there'd be like, well, being a widow is lonely. And no, that's absolutely valid. And yes, it's fine that they're exploring that. But the thing with Violet is that she had a very awesome life with her husband, has a lot of great stuff that came from that life, also like with her children and the grandchildren and all that stuff. She was able to always find joy in her life without another man in her life. So I appreciated that with Violet. Again, I don't blame them for exploring a little bit about what's going on with Violet, but I swear to God, if it leads to a fucking subplot about Violet's on the marriage market now, I don't fucking care.
I'm gonna vomit, honestly. And here's the thing. It's not that, like, because I am a woman of a certain age kind of thing, okay? I don't watch what amounts to soft porn to see like people my age. Okay, that's not fair, but yeah, I appreciate the idea, like you said, of it's hard, you know, to be a widow and you know you have urges, I guess. I don't need to know that necessarily. And this whole thing, like, Violet's trying to find out if Lady Danbury ever did anything after her husband died. There's a lot of discussion about that. And Lady Danbury at some point goes looking for something that comes up in the past plot with Lady Danbury. And I'm not going to allude to that directly at this point, but it's like, whatever. But there's a line at the end when the two princes are getting married. One of the princes, who is clearly the one that I empathize with him. He actually is like George, and he says, I'm nervous about this. What if I don't love her? What if I don't get it right? And what Charlotte says to him is, and I do love this too, like at the wedding, like all of the kids have Pomeranians. It's adorable. But what Charlotte says to the prince is, she's like, love is not magic. It is a choice. And you make that choice that you're going to love this person and you don't give yourself any other options. It's difficult and you have to grab and hang on to it. And if you don't, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot to be said for that, because the day-to-day of marriage, regardless of how much you love somebody, is hard. Now, there is a downside to this advice, though, and I don't know if maybe I need to talk about it here or talk about it later, but, you know, if you're giving that advice to somebody, like, oh, you need to, like, commit and stick to a commitment, even if they're abusive.
Oh, yeah. There are certain scenarios in which that doesn't work. And, like, find the love, even in an awful relationship. It's like, no, you shouldn't have to do that.
No. The definition of awful has gone from, he's beating you, to, oh, well, he didn't bring, you don't bring me flowers anymore kind of thing. It's like, you know, that's not.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know.
We've gone too far the other way as far as like, oh, I can just break up my marriage for something stupid too. It's like,
you need to fight for the marriage. Obviously there are steps too far, but it depends on where your line is, right? And not everybody has the same line. It's not a standard. It really isn't. So it's just, I like the idea of it just being like love is a choice someone makes, and you need to choose love every single day. It's kind of like what Violet said in the first season of, yeah, no, it's a lot of little decisions throughout your day, and you just have to keep choosing love and all that stuff. I mean, it's just, I haven't rewatched that episode in a while, so I might be a bit rusty, but either I'm rewatching it right now. But
So Violet gives that advice to Daphne, and I do think, and it's a theme I see myself coming back to even with this series, because you know we've only got these two episodes left, but I feel like that choice, part of why it is, you know, very affirming here, is that there's no malice in the negative things that are happening in the marriage between Charlotte and George. I mean, it's the opposite.
Yeah, it really, yeah, it doesn't translate very well. Anyway, so also later on, you find out that Agatha saved her birthday hat, and we'll find out later how much went with that birthday hat. Who wore the birthday hat? Who wore the birthday suit? Like, I mean, it's whatever.
That was good. I appreciate the draft.
Thanks. I tried. I can't make light of what happens in this episode, really. No, all right. Anyway, back to the past. Charlotte is lonely, and Reynolds hears George being tortured at Q.
It's awful.
And there are moments like later on where you can hear his screams like outside the palace.
Yeah.
Like it's that loud and that horrible. Yeah. It's bad. Then you see that Lord Danbury's being buried, and Agatha doesn't know what to do with herself. And this is a little bit of a section.
I'm gonna say this. There are lines around the burial that it makes it clear that she doesn't really have a relationship with her children at all.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't know her. She doesn't know them. They didn't know their father. It's like their entire life is Nanny.
Yeah. Like hers was. And it's a sad little thing to keep going, but either way, she was like wandering around at like 4 o'clock in the morning around her house, drinking port wine just because it was his favorite. And she basically, since the age of 3, when the betrothal contract was signed, she has lived to please him, has learned to like all the things that he liked. Like, his favorite color is gold. His favorite drink is port, which, weird choice.
She doesn't like. Yeah. And she doesn't like. I mean, you know, some port is very good. So
It's just an odd choice. Anyway, right. So she just is trying to figure out her own identity outside of being made for him. And breathing different air and all that stuff. I mean, it's just different, which I kind of like. I like that conversation.
Yeah,
she didn't have taken this long.
It's a good monologue, I guess. You know, she doesn't know how to breathe, even if
she's not breathing in, like,
but yeah, when he exhales. And I want to just note this somewhere, because this actress is so unbelievably flipping gorgeous. And
Lady she's Danbury, so pretty.
Oh, yeah. So Lady Danbury, I remember in the first season of Bridgerton, is talking about, oh, I always hated my appearance, so I just decided to embrace being scary. And it's like,
You're not scary, sweetie. You're pretty.
You're very pretty.
You get a lot of people like on side in this episode alone. Like, she gets a lot of attention, and I'm like, yeah, no, this seems pretty accurate. But then whenever she was talking to Simon about, I made myself scary, and I'm like, you didn't though. You're scary now, but I don't really see that reflecting in the text in this timeline, you know.
Yeah,
anyway, exactly. I agree. So also, Charlotte is waiting for George to write her back. She's constantly writing letters to him at Q. I don't know why she doesn't just go over there, because it doesn't seem to be too much of an issue with her like getting in a carriage and going somewhere. I think they should have like had her try to go once, and then hit her being like turned away at the door by him or something. I don't know. They just wanted the big reunion thing that happens later. The Dowager Princess brings the royal physician to examine Charlotte to make sure she's really pregnant. And she is really pregnant.
Right. Charlotte's reaction to this is, I'm not doing it. Oh, okay. And she does it.
Because... Yeah, no, fine. I guess I have to. They have my legs spread. I have to do it now.
Yeah.
And then the Dowager Princess is like, I'm moving into Buckingham House to ruin your life.
Oh, and it's just awful. Like, she's hovering over her, and it's really, but One of the things that's going on with this is there is a whole undercurrent of Dowager Princess saying things like, oh, well, you know, if this is a boy and an heir, you don't have to worry about ever seeing George again.
Well, that happens later. That happens later. Yeah.
But I mean, there's like hints at that all along. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be easier. It's going to be fine. You've done your
this is going to be your life after. This is basically going to be your life. This lonely life, it's going to be yours after, because you will never have an obligation to see George, and he will not have an obligation to see you until we have another heir. So isn't this great for you? Anyway, Charlotte writes again to George, and basically, I assume what the content of the letter was just in all caps, please help me, your mother is driving me absolutely fucking insane. Yeah. And so she sends that with Brimsley to go, and I think that Brimsley should just like do it personally and be like, yeah, no, I'm gonna deliver it personally to make sure he actually is getting this, because Reynolds, he's giving it to Reynolds, but he's upset with Reynolds for the lack of communication about the whole like mental issue stuff. And because he was constantly asking, hey, what's wrong with the guy? Like, why is he not like hanging out with the queen and all that stuff? But Reynolds never told him. And so he's a bit upset about that. And there are just all these secrets. And Reynolds is like trying to apologize. And so he takes the letter. He tries to deliver it to George, but initially he's like, this is royal mail, I have to give it to him. Like, because the doctors try to like stop him from even coming into the room.
Right.
And so then they're like, fine, George, come. And he's like shaking. He is visibly shaking. George is. Yeah. And it's probably right after the ice bath or something.
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah.
I think guess it so. Is. Yeah.
And so he's like, I have a letter, and he's like, it's from Charlotte, right? And then he's just like, yes. And he's like, put it with the others. He puts it with the others in the observatory, which initially, like when they were first doing treatments, I think he would get some time off to like just go into the observatory and rest for a little while. So it wasn't constant torment and torture. And so he would get the chance to like go read the letters. But now I think that he's not getting that time to even go there, and even if he is, he's not opening the letters, because I think that would just cause him more torture.
Bless him, it's just sad. And so there's a letter that Charlotte writes, she gives it to Brimsley to post it, Brimsley opens it.
Sorry, if we're going chronologically, the major families of their side visit Lady Danbury, and they're like, hey, let's figure out if the title's inherited, because you're the precedent for all of this, so good luck. Yeah. Please tell us
your husband died first, so let's
yeah,
the lands you're the first. Everything goes to your children and everybody else. And, yeah, and interestingly, Simon's dad is supposed to be part of that group, and the guy playing Simon's dad, you see that same kind of swoop in the hair, and it's kind of like they did a good job with casting him. He has that kind of austere look. He's taller though than the actor that played Simon's dad in season one, so whatever.
I can't tell who's supposed to be Lord and Lady Smythe-Smith, because there is a couple of Asian descent in the room, but they don't talk. I don't know who they're supposed to be.
I thought
that's who they were. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I thought
Lord and Lady Smythe-Smith were the couple. And
I thought so too, but then I was like, but that kind of goes against... It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what they look like or who they are. Anyway,
whatever.
It's not like they're going to get to those books. Anyway,
Lady Danbury is basically like, shit.
I need to go to get to the solicitor, and I'll sign the letter as just Danbury so that I don't. He doesn't come just because I'm not a man. Right. So then we go over to Charlotte, who has to pose for her wedding portrait alone.
Yeah.
And then she
gets in an argument with the Dowager Princess about her skin tone in the portrait. And she's like, my skin's actually darker than that. Paint it the way it is. And then the Dowager Princess is like, no, paint it lighter. You know, she needs to glow. The king wants her to glow.
Like, this it's an order from the king. The king loves her the way she is, but he's not there to defend her. So she has to just deal with it.
Yeah.
And then we get to Charlotte writing a letter to her brother Adolphus in Germany, and Brimsley reads the letter and knows she wants him to take her back. She wants Adolphus to take her back to Germany because she's, first of all, very lonely, very pregnant, and she's not getting any responses from her actual husband, who's supposed to be helping her out during this time. And And also, she doesn't know if about his mental state. There were so many things up in the air for
Secret.
Charlotte.
There's so many secrets, and she just can't deal with all of it, and you know, she can't deal with getting no support. So Brimsley opens the letter, reads the letter, is like, fuck. He reseals it and he goes to Reynolds and he's like, this is not for the king, but should I post this? Because if I post this, she might leave. She might bolt. What are you going to do about this? You've got to do something about this.
And Reynolds is like, it's up to you. And I'm just like, Reynolds, go to the fucking king and tell him, hey, your wife might leave the country. The one you're doing all of this for, she might leave the country if you don't come in and help her soon. Like, this is ridiculous, dude. And then we go over to Agatha, who goes for a walk alone in the field, in the desolate field, and she runs into Lord Ledger, our favorite character. And I would just like to say, I wish that this was a man her age and not Violet's dad, because that would be the exact opposite of what Lord Danbury was. If they were going to go for this whole romance angle, which I hate, if they were going to go for a different angle, it should have been someone younger, like someone who's actually her age, available, actually available, and actually cares about her and doesn't have, like, isn't like with a ch has a child who is. I think they just wanted to tie between Violet and Lady Danbury for no reason. They are close enough friends. Don't make it weird. And
Well, my, and this whole I'm we're gonna talk about this as it progresses, but I really hate this storyline, especially the connection to Violet. I know that I don't understand why we want to create this kind of tension. Is just
there is no
ugh.
reason. And it
Well,
resorts to nothing.
right.
Absolutely
Right.
nothing.
So basically,
Anyway.
Lady Danbury and Lord Ledger, you know, have a nice chat. She's excited to have a friend, you know, like anybody. She's not really been associating with people, which seems kind of weird to me. It's like you've been a lady of the ton for a while. You clearly know people on both sides of the aisle now. Why can't you talk to anybody? But she goes and she walks with him. He's very nice and friendly. He's got a big imagination.
I
And
think it should have been Adolphus.
right. I mean, there
We'll
are a
get
lot
to
of things,
it later, but
whatever.
it doesn't
Yeah,
matter
but
right
in any case, so she walks with Lord Ledger apparently every day for like quite some time. And her lady's name's like, you going for a walk alone again? Oh, well, okay.
now.
And
Oh, and then later she's like, that's a good cape for a walk alone. Or
yeah,
like she gets to
exactly.
that point where it's like, that will double as a blanket very well. Good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
So,
yeah, back to the going in chronological order. They just walk a lot. Then Adolphus visits Charlotte. She's now pretty far along in her pregnancy.
and
Brimsley overhears the conversation.
right. So I want to point out that, you know, when he shows up, she's at first got this, yay, you're coming here to save me thing. And Adolphus is like, look, I don't think I've made this clear to you. I can't take you back to my country because you have a king inside you. And that would be kidnapping. And I can't do that. That would breach like all of our agreements and shit. So, no.
And he also says their fates are tied because of their alliance with England now. So if the king is taken back to their province, then first of all, that tie will be severed. Second of all, that king would basically kind of rule over their province when the time comes anyway. So it's a whole thing. You can't do it. And I think she just really wanted. She wanted somebody on her side. She wanted to be somewhere familiar or have someone familiar with her because she's just been stuck with the D Dowager Princess all day. And nobody's on her side except for Brimsley, but he can't really vocalize that without being impertinent. And it's a whole thing. So Adolphus, yeah, he says no, but he's kind of concerned about what's going on. He's like, hey, is he like hurting you or something? And she's like, no, he's not physically hurting me. And then he's just like, oh, good, we can't have that. That I would have
That would
had
be
tried.
different. Then I'd have to stand up
That'd be
for
harder. And then I'm just like,
you.
oh great, dude. Now you've also like given her that idea. Anyway, then you can hear that's when you can hear George screaming outside the palace walls. Reynolds has to prevent gossip with the footmen. And then Agatha, we go back to over to Agatha. She says she misses her family and doesn't miss her husband. And Ledger's like, hey, I understand. I don't like my wife. And then she tells him it's her birthday next week. They almost kiss, and I just write ew.
Yeah, ew is definitely right. I mean, here's the
It's
thing.
gross.
The guy who's playing Lord Ledger, if he were like a hot young dude, I would be okay with this. Or a hot middle-aged dude, fine. I mean, there are like 1,000 hot middle-aged dudes out there. This guy is not that. And I don't mean to disparage the actor. Like I said, when he was in
He's
a
doing a great
more
job.
if he were in a more fatherly when he was in the more fatherly role, like with Violet, I felt like that was great. And when he's being that kind of magnanimous, hey, I want you to join the hunt, you know, that guy, I liked that guy. But
You can't have
this,
them both.
I mean, and I guess the reality that they're trying to portray is that, you know, some people have weird, dark, secret, creepy things, and this is his weird, dark, secret, creepy thing. But anyway, so.
Anyway, the solicitor visits Agatha and says there is no precedent, obviously, and so they can't really do that. And also, Lord Danbury left them poor after trying to support their new lifestyle. Oops. And so she's being encouraged to remarry, and then she attacks the bed.
She like tears stuff up. That sequence goes on far too long.
way too long. I'm like, are you done? Like, stop attacking the bed. This is costing you more money. Anyway, then we go over to Charlotte, and she is miserable. The Dowager Princess, they're listening to like a string quartet or something, and Dowager Princess says that she's free and can refuse to see the George if she doesn't want to, or at least until she needs to conceive again for another heir, like the heir and the spare kind of thing. Like, yeah. And then Brimsley, there's this mo really cute moment in the hallway that goes on too long, but still, it's cute. Where Charlotte is walking down the hallway, she's very, very overwhelmed after that whole conversation with the Dowager Princess and a very awkward dinner with her and Adolphus and the Dowager Princess. She's standing in the hallway, just like hands on her
Sorry.
hips. Bless you. Hands on her hips, trying to breathe. Like, first of all, imagine having to be pregnant in that outfit. Like,
In
Jesus
a corset.
Christ, in a
Oh my God.
corset.
Okay, look, I was pregnant. Being pregnant is not fun, okay? I mean, I know some people love being pregnant. I love you. But being pregnant is not my idea of a good time.
There are zero, there are maybe two total pictures of you pregnant with me. Because, first of all, who wants to be seen pregnant like that?
Yeah, I don't
Like,
know.
just you're
I
enormous,
wouldn't do
you're
that.
growing a child inside of you, and you're miserable. Like, it's
Well,
just
your
how it
body's not
is.
yours. I mean, the truth is, your body's not yours. And that's kind
True.
of part of what Adolphus is saying to her. But
It was all mine.
But yeah, you and your damn nectarines.
Sorry. Yeah, no, you craved a lot of nectarines
I
during your
did. But
pregnancy with me.
she's walking down the hallway, and you know, you have trouble breathing anyway. It's exhausting. She's got this massive clothing on, all this stuff. And she stops, and you can see her crying. And she's
She's on
trying
the
to
brink.
hold it in. She's trying to hold it in. And Brimsley is like his 5 steps behind her. He holds out his hand like he's supporting her, but he
Like
doesn't
what
touch her.
Reynolds did at the
Well, but
dinner
Reynolds
and stuff
actually
like
touched him.
yeah, no, I know. Similar to that though, of showing their support for their person. And so that's then she kind of like straightens up. She's kind of like, okay, all right, I had my
I'm
moments. I
good.
need to move on. And like we all do. And then Reynolds rides like Margaret to Buckingham House. Dad said it first when we first watched it. And Dad was like, "It's Margaret." It's just funny. Yeah,
I'm
it's a
sorry.
shame that it's wasted on a moment like this, though, because Reynolds comes to Buckingham House and he's talking to Brimsley, and Brimsley basically is like, "Well, I put some fail safes in. I'm going to make sure that there's like a garden wall so that if he needs to go out into the garden and shout at the moon, it's okay. I'll also put like more safety precautions. I cleaned this wall that had all the markings on it. Like everything will be fine. We'll be able to cover this up for him if so that he can come back." And Reynolds is like, "That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Like that's not happening right now." And then he's just like, "Well, listen, I'm worried about Charlotte's mind. She is under, she's in a state that I've never seen her before. She's very, very depressed. And maybe we should have her see Dr. Monroe for her mind this time." And Reynolds immediately is like, no, she's not seeing anybody. She's not seeing him. She is not seeing him. And Reynolds tries to Yeah, it's just, it's a whole thing. And I'm glad that Reynolds is like, yeah, no, she's not seeing Monroe. That's absolutely not happening. But he doesn't
Right.
tell him why. And I think
Right.
that's a mistake. And Brimsley gets upset again. And I kind of wish it led to something better, but it doesn't. It leads to Reynolds trying to break him out of, because I
Yeah,
think this is the
okay,
first
so
time.
hang on. So Reynolds goes back and he's insisting he wants to talk to the king because he feels like at least I need to tell him. It's my responsibility to tell him what's going on with Charlotte. And so he pushes his way into this, I guess we're going to call it a treatment room, and they are dunking George in this ice bath and they keep
He's
dunking
never
him.
seen it before.
Right, he's never seen it. He's heard, the torture or whatever, but they keep dunking him. He's like, no, stop. And Reynolds starts fighting with, the attendants. And he's physically fighting to try to get George out of bath, and they physically throw him out.
It's bad.
So we go to
Charlotte, who at the
Charlotte.
beginning of this episode, she was like having the garden that George like was tending to harvest it and give it to the poor and all that stuff. But
Right.
then it gets to the point where it's like, well, do you want to replant? And she's like, no, let the garden die.
Yeah,
And
she's just pissed. She's like, look, Matt, I guess
I don't blame her.
that's supposed to be the tie to the gardening.
I know it is.
It's bullshit. So
It's
it's bullshit and it's a stretch and I don't like it. So
bullshit. then Brim, yeah.
Brimsley tells her though, you cannot leave England. And she thinks that's impertinent and she's mad at him.
Then we
So
go over
then,
to Lady Danbury, who is bringing her oldest son, Dominic, who is the heir and would inherit the Danbury
title,
name, and the Lord Danbury stuff.
title.
Yes. And so she takes him to see the Dowager Princess. The Dowager Princess initially is like, oh, Lord, did she, because Lady Danbury
Lord
says,
Butt.
this Lord Danbury, can I introduce you to him? And then Dowager Princess is like, oh, hello, Lord. And then all the lords behind her are like, oh, no, you can't call him Lord. We haven't decided the lineage thing yet. And she's like, well, he's an adorable child. Good day. And then, so she gets
Yeah.
no
Oh.
answers about it.
And Lord Butt
Whatever.
is ugly about the succession stuff. He's just terrible. I'm going to call him Lord Butt from here on out. So that's
Good for
kind
you.
of
Then
what
Lord Ledger makes a birthday hat for Agatha. Isn't that
it
so
is.
sweet and not creepy at all? And then Charlotte visits Agatha and starts crying about her, all of what's going on. She doesn't say everything that's going on because obviously she's sworn to secrecy and also she doesn't want that to get out. And
Right.
she says she isn't going back to the palace and she plans to stay at Danbury House. She just is like, hey,
Sheesh.
I'm staying here. Is that okay? I don't really care if it's okay. I'm staying here. And
Right.
Agatha's like, oh shit. Can't Coral, can you send someone to Buckingham House? I cannot deal with this, like, very, I don't want to have to take care of the future king. So please just take care of this. And so Adolphus and Brimsley fight a bit about
Well,
how.
I want to point out, like, part of Lady Danbury's thing is, if the queen is not going to be queen and she's going to be hiding out here, I might get charged with something involving like
Like treason.
treason or something. It's like, we can't have this. We've got to do something. So they send a message to Brimsley and Adolphus, or Brimsley shares it with Adolphus.
And Adolphus is just like, oh, I know her attendants don't do anything for her around here. And then Brimsley is like really offended, like, hey, I've been taking care of her. I know her needs way better than you do right now. And we need to make sure this is really, really discreet. Because Adolphus also doesn't know about George and the whole
Right.
situation there. So it's like, you don't know anything,
Right.
dude. Like, shut the fuck up. And so they end up going to get her. Charlotte feels like she's been lied to and betrayed by everyone except for Agatha, even though she doesn't know. And
She's been
Agatha
betrayed
tries to def
by Agatha for sure.
yeah, she tries to deflect, and then she's like, well, how about we start again as friends?
Right.
And Agatha essentially tells her to be brave. Great. And then Agatha meets Adolphus briefly, which will be something tomorrow, not tomorrow, next episode.
Next episode.
Then Charlotte decides, hey, they get to Buckingham House, and Adolphus is going up, and he's just like, yeah, you're lucky that this didn't spiral out of control, like I would have done it or something. And she's like, she stops, she's like, Brimsley. And then Brimsley's like, stop her carriage, I know what's gonna happen. And she's like, I'm going to go be queen. I'm going to go get my fucking husband out of that palace and figure out what the hell is going on.
And she does.
And then we go over to Agatha going to visit with Ledger, and or no, Ledger comes to her house with the hat. Mm-hmm. And I said out loud, I don't fucking care.
Well, I
as soon as it shifted back, I know I saw Agatha, I was like, it. I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Well, then, so he shows up at her house with the hat, and oh, I'm secretly not here. I mean, their cute little game that they would play when they were out walking. Oh, I'm here, but I'm not here, and you don't see me, and blah blah blah. And the next thing you know.
Well, they say these things like, you can't come inside, and he's just like, I am not coming inside. And I said, you shouldn't be.
Because we all know, yeah. And then there's kissing, and it's like, oh.
And then they have sex, and it's unfortunate for everyone involved. And then we go over to Charlotte, who goes to Q and forces them to let her see George. Reynolds finally, like, points to where he is.
We skipped one line. We skipped one line. When Charlotte is over at Danbury House, you know, the first thing she says is, oh, I'm here to help, you know, to commiserate about, you know, your husband dying.
Sorrow's prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah, she started that thing very long ago. Yeah. Yeah. And then she goes and finds George, and there he's strapped to the chair with about to be burnt with a hot poker. And yeah. She's like, hey, what the fuck? Untie the king. Are you kidding? And yeah. Then they kind of like scatter about like mice, like that scene in Ratatouille. And and George like comes forward, and she takes him in her arms, and she's comforting him. And he's like, everyone out right now. And then she like tries to get him to like be centered back in reality. She's like, hey, I'm Venus. And she's like, oh, damn, Venus. I'm Charlotte. I'm your Charlotte. You're okay. You are just George and all that stuff. She tries to bring him back, and she does. And then she dismisses Monroe. She's like, no, you're leaving. Never see you're glad. You should be glad I'm not destroying you.
Yeah. Finally dismisses him. And she's like, he's like, I'm here to care for his mind. She's like, I'm here to care for his happiness and his soul. You're dismissed. Now
I don't care if he's mad. I'm going to take care of him.
Right.
And then Charlotte decides to move to Q.
Right. To care for George. And in this whole background, I don't know if you caught it. They've got
the two who run the world.
Yeah. Who runs the world, girls.
It took me a second because I heard like the bridge of it, and I was just like, and I was like, oh, I said those things in that order. I was like, oh, because the thing that's like the visual that accompanies it is great with Charlotte, and then he goes over to Lady Danbury, like writing him in bed. And I was like, I didn't need to see that. Like, you're taking control, I guess, but like, it would be so much better if he was a hot guy and not like twice your age. Like,
she's like banging his head against the headboard.
Yeah, and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God.
Stop it.
Anyway, that's the end of
it. Anyway. So what were your best parts?
Brimsley, he saves the day. The costumes are great. And Charlotte getting her man.
Yeah.
What about you?
I put Charlotte and George because of course I just love
those. I just feel bad for George.
Yeah. Charlotte and George, Brimsley and Reynolds. I love them. I love Reynolds fighting for the king physically.
Reynolds. Yeah, I'll add that.
I think that there's a lot of good stuff in here for those four because I think they're actually mostly the main characters in my mind.
They are the main characters, and they need to stop kidding themselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Jesus.
So what were your worst parts?
All of the present timeline bullshit.
Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hate
flashbacks to Lord Danbury sex. If it shows up, I have to mention it. The Dowager Princess moving in and making Charlotte's life hell. God. Lord Ledger and Agatha. I just cannot get past that. Is the worst decision I think of all of the decisions they made with this show, and a lot of them I like. That I think that's the worst decision they could have made, and I know.
Go ahead.
I think it's the worst decision they could have made of having Lord Ledger and Agatha Danbury have sex and have like a kind of romantic, like love, just kind of like an affair thing. I did, No. Like when I was watching it for the first time, I was watching it and I was like, oh, it could be fun if they were just friends. Because I liked Lord Ledger in the first episode he's introduced, like him being nice to Lord Danbury and all that stuff. It was nice. But then, and they got started getting closer. I'm like, oh, he could be a good mentor for her, like entering society again, all that stuff. That could be fun. And then as soon as I could catch like that they were trying to make them flirt with each other, I was like, no. No. You can't just have like a platonic friendship between a man and a woman in this series. Are you fucking kidding me? Please stop.
They're not fucking kidding you. They're
I
fucking
know. It's so bad. I think it was their worst decision to have that in here. I think that's
okay.
probably my least favorite thing this show did.
No, it's certainly my least favorite thing that this Queen Charlotte show did. I think, oh God,
Cool.
I hate that a lot.
There's
So
none of that in the book, by the way. No Lord Ledger in the book.
But there's no Queen Charlotte in any of the books. So anyway, but so the Dowager Princess is when are we done with worst parts?
Yes.
Okay, so the Dowager Princess is definitely a worst part for me. Everything she does in this episode, like that whole backing down from calling Lord Danbury, all that stuff is bullshit. The Lady Danbury parts that involve Lord Ledger, I think, are all terrible. I mean, her standing up for her child and trying to, do things, I like that. I like the way she plays it, and I like the way, she's not got a real relationship with Dominic, but she, gets down on one knee and she's like, "Look, you come from warriors. We're gonna fight. You are a lord. This is the way it is." And so she, I like those things. I
Sure.
really, really, really hate this whole storyline with Lady Danbury and Lord Ledger. I hate it. I hate it on so many levels. I don't know that it's the worst decision, only because I don't know if they're going to have that backstory come into like se the seasons going forward on Maine Bridgerton. And if they do, I will agree with you.
I
If this
think
is a
I
one
don't
and
think they
done,
will, based off of the resolution in the next episode. I don't think they will.
I just really don't want that to happen, so I keep sitting here going, no. So, but possible. The one of the other really, really, really horrible decisions I think they made was making Kate a liar in season two of Bridgerton. That is
Okay,
the
no,
worst.
I'm talking about in this series, not
Oh, in
the
this
series at
series,
large.
absolutely,
In this series,
100%,
that is the worst thing they've done.
100%,
And
yes.
I do agree with the whole Kate thing. Looking back, when I reread the book, I was like, oh, she's just a poor girl who has no idea what's going on, who's afraid of thunderstorms. She just doesn't know what's going on. And she doesn't like Antony, obviously, because she doesn't like her for her sister, like him for her sister. And it makes more sense, but her like lying about it, no. And I like that that's I understand what they were going for is like, oh, we need some tension between the sisters, but I think that making Edwina in love with him was enough. So it was enough tension for me, but whatever. And
Anyway.
I haven't gotten to that rewatch with my roommate. I'll definitely have stuff to say then, but we haven't gotten there yet. And we won't be talking about that because Game of Thrones is next. So anyway, so overall.
Sorry.
Overall
But
grades.
yeah, but wait, no, wait,
Oh,
hang
sorry.
on. The everything about Violet in the present storyline. I really hate all of this. I need my garden plowed bullshit. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I
I'm
hate
cloud.
it. Yes. Hate it. Telling you right now. Hate it.
Don't
So what
either.
grade did you give this episode?
A B minus. I don't know, because it introduces the worst part of this series to me, of this mini series to me, which is the Violet, not the Violet. Sorry, the Ledger and Danbury thing. Like it just is so bad, and I hate it
It's really
so
bad.
so much.
I
I
hate
don't
it.
understand why it's here. It doesn't even successfully create conflict between them in the present day. We'll find out about that next episode, unfortunately. It's just. I don't understand why they decided this was a good idea. And in the books, none of that in there, and I'm totally fine with that. I think they just wanted to
Agreed.
shoot. And again, what I said last episode still stands. I think that their idea that they needed to have it tied to the present Bridgerton timeline was a mistake, and well, that they should have just left it contained.
Just with Charlotte.
Yeah, right? Just with Charlotte. I think that they didn't think that they could stand on their own, and I think that again is misguided. I think it could have just been the main four, and maybe some Lady Danbury in there, but none of this Ledger bullshit. Yeah. None of it. Like none of that. And also, there's a line next episode where I'm just like, if they wanted to include Violet, they should have done it a different way. We'll talk about that next episode, but yeah, I give it a B-. What about you?
Yeah, I gave it a B- also. This is my least favorite episode of this whole series.
And it's a B-, so it's a pretty good episode just overall, but it's just oof.
And what makes it a good episode is what is happening to what I consider the main storyline. The main storyline involving the main four characters is well done. Why they wanted to fuck around with this other shit, I don't know.
But you could have had more Brimsley and Reynolds in this part. But, oh, you just had to do that. He like freaking Margaret's it to Buckingham House, and you have him do a very brief scene where it could have been a heartfelt moment, but no.
Yeah,
you can't let these two gay guys be happy. Like, are you kidding? We do a little bit of that in the next episode too, where I'm just like, why did you show us this part? Because we'll talk about it when we get to it.
Yeah.
I'm just
we will. And the thing is, I'm you know, a little foreshadowing. I do think that this last episode is really great. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with everybody. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.